All right, so get this, you guys. Today we are diving into something pretty awesome. It's all about how to become like a communication ninja in your relationships.
Oh, I love that.
Right? You guys sent over this super interesting article from Davenport Psychology. It's all about marriage counseling and communication.
Oh, nice.
And clearly, you're ready to level up, you know, take your relationship skills to a whole new level. And I am so excited to unpack this with you.
Me too. This is going to be fun. It's a great topic to really dig into because, you know, so much of what they talk about in that article about marriage counseling, it actually applies to any relationship where communication is like the key ingredient.
Yeah.
So we're talking about romantic partnerships, definitely, but also friendships, family dynamics, you know, all of it, anything where you've got, you know, people interacting.
It's so true.
Yeah.
And so often we think about communication as just like talking and listening.
Right.
Which, yeah, of course, that's part of it.
Basic.
But there's so much more to it.
Right.
It's like, you think about it, it's like the foundation of a house.
Oh, I like that.
If the foundation's shaky, the whole structure is at risk.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. And this, you know, think of this deep dive as us, you know, giving you the tools and showing you how to reinforce that foundation. Maybe add a stylish extension or two while we're at it, you know?
Ooh, I like that. A stylish extension.
Right. Spruce things up a bit. And one of the things that I think is really important, and they highlight this in the article, is that you have to remember that everybody communicates differently.
Oh, yeah.
So different communication styles, those are totally normal. But the real magic happens when you start to learn how to recognize those differences, and then the key is adapting to those differences.
That makes so much sense.
Right.
Because I know, like, even in my own life, there's been so many times where I feel like I'm speaking one language and the person I'm talking to is hearing something totally different.
Yes.
It's like one of those, like, hilarious travel mishaps. You ask for directions and you end up like lost in a field somewhere.
Oh, totally. You know, you get off the beaten path a little bit. But here's the thing. Instead of getting lost, we can use the insights from this article to become fluent in like the language of healthy communication.
Oh, I love that.
Right.
Fluent in healthy communication.
Let's do it. And one of the first things that we need to tackle, and they talk about this in the article, are those pesky communication pitfalls. You know, those things that kind of trip us up, they call out a bunch of big ones. And I think you'll find these like incredibly relatable.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to resonate with a lot of us because I know even for myself, I've fallen into these traps more times than I'd like to admit.
Oh, yeah, we all have.
So let's start with they talk about lack of active listening.
Yes.
And I am so guilty of this one sometimes. Like, I find myself listening, but really what I'm doing is I'm just waiting for my turn to jump in.
Oh, yeah. It's so common.
You know.
It is, and it really highlights this crucial point that active listening, it's not passive.
Right.
It's a skill.
Ooh.
It's something you have to work at. Think of it as like a superpower that transforms conflict into connection. You know, when you're really actively listening, you're not just hearing the words.
Right.
You're absorbing the emotions, the unspoken cues. You're getting the whole picture.
Oh, that's such a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It's not about, you know, like waiting for your turn to speak. It's about really, truly trying to understand the other person's experience.
Absolutely.
I'm like already feeling a little bit more mindful just thinking about it.
I love it. Mindfulness is key. All right. Now, another pitfall that they bring up is defensiveness.
Uh-oh.
This one's a biggie. And it's so understandable because when we feel attacked, we want to protect ourselves. But sometimes that knee-jerk reaction can shut down communication like that.
Oh, I know that all too well.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get so caught up in like defending my position that I completely miss the other person's point.
Yeah.
It's like instead of building a bridge, I'm building a wall.
Exactly. Yes. And speaking of shutting down communication, they also talk about avoidance.
Oh, avoidance.
It can be so tempting to just like sweep things under the rug when things get a little tough.
Right.
But we all know how well that works.
Yeah. Not well at all. It's like trying to ignore a leaky faucet, right? It might seem fine at first, but eventually you're dealing with a flooded basement.
Exactly. Ignoring problems, it doesn't make them go away. It just makes them, you know, often makes them worse.
Right.
And what's interesting is that in the article, they actually connect avoidance to a buildup of resentment and emotional distance.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which makes sense, right? Because if you're constantly avoiding difficult conversations, you're basically telling the other person, hey, your feelings and needs, they're not important enough for me to actually address.
Oof. That's a powerful insight. I never really thought about it that way. Okay, so we've got lack of active listening, defensiveness, avoidance. What other communication gremlins are lurking out there?
Well, they bring up one that can be kind of sneaky. It's poor timing.
Oh, yeah.
We've all been there, you know, trying to have like a serious heart-to-heart when somebody's in the middle of watching their favorite show or they're like rushing out the door. It's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, I can definitely relate to that one. I once tried to have a serious conversation with my partner while he was in the middle of a video game.
Oh, no.
And let's just say it did not end well.
Yeah, yeah, you got to read the room, right?
Yes, learned that one the hard way. Choosing the right time and place can make or break a conversation.
Absolutely. And they talk about that in the article, too. It's not just the external factors like, you know, is it the right time of day? Is it the right place?
Right.
It's also recognizing each other's emotional state.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, trying to have a deep conversation when somebody's like stressed or exhausted, it's probably not going to be very productive.
Right. You're not going to get anywhere. It's like you're talking to a wall.
Yeah, exactly. So it's about being attuned to, you know, both the verbal and nonverbal cues the other person is sending.
So we're building a case for being mindful of our timing, our own emotional state, and the other person's cues. This is a lot to juggle.
It is. It is. But it's like learning a new dance, you know? At first, the steps seem kind of complicated, but with practice, it becomes more fluid, more natural.
Right.
And the more we practice these, like, mindful communication skills, the less likely we are to fall into those pitfalls.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
So we've covered some major communication pitfalls. Lack of active listening, defensiveness, avoidance, and poor timing. Is there one final gremlin we need to slay before we move on to the good stuff? The solutions.
Yes. One more, and it's a big one. Unspoken expectations.
Ooh, tell me more.
I think we've all been in situations where we assume the other person knows what we're thinking or feeling, only to be met with, like, disappointment or frustration when they don't live up to our imagined script.
Ugh, it's the worst. It's like that classic sitcom trope where one person plans a surprise party and the other person is devastated because they were craving a quiet night in.
Oh, yeah.
You know? If only they had just talked about it.
Classic sitcom scenario. But it happens in real life, too.
Oh, it does. All the time.
Unspoken expectations, they're like relationship landmines. You think you're being clear, but in reality, you're just setting yourself up for misunderstandings.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we've laid out some of the biggest communication pitfalls that can really sabotage our relationships. But the good news is you didn't bring us here just to dwell on the negative.
Right.
You've got solutions.
I do. Always got to have those solutions.
They mention in the article how marriage counseling can actually help couples overcome these hurdles. And I'm really curious to hear more about that.
Absolutely. And while the article focuses on marriage counseling, what's really cool is that the techniques that they discuss can actually be incredibly valuable for any type of relationship.
Okay, I love that.
Right. It's about learning to communicate more effectively with anyone that we care about.
So even if you're not in a romantic relationship, you can still benefit from these insights.
100%.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so let's dive into how marriage counseling can come to the rescue. Starting with, you know, they really emphasize in the article active listening techniques.
Okay, bring on the tools. I am ready to learn how to become a communication black belt.
Let's do it. Okay, so where were we? Oh, yeah, before we got all excited about the solutions, we were talking about those communication pitfalls.
Right, those pitfalls.
The ones that leave us feeling like, wait, are we even speaking the same language?
Yeah, tell me about it. It's like you're putting in all this effort to communicate, but you just end up lost in translation.
Exactly.
But you mentioned that marriage counseling actually offers some really effective techniques to kind of bridge those communication gaps.
It does.
So spill the tea. What are we talking about here? What kind of tools can help us out?
Okay, well, one technique that really stood out to me in the article is something called mirroring or reflective listening.
Mirroring.
Yeah. And it sounds kind of simple, deceptively simple, but it's so powerful. And basically, what it involves is like one person paraphrasing what the other person has said just to make sure they understood it correctly.
So it's kind of like saying, what I hear you saying is, and then you just reflect back what you understood.
Exactly, you got it. And what's so brilliant about this technique is that it like forces you to really listen, you know?
Right.
You're not just imposing your own assumptions or interpretations on what the other person's saying. You're really trying to get it from their perspective.
Or like you're actually trying to understand, not just waiting to talk.
Exactly. And it shows the other person that you're making a real effort to understand where they're coming from.
Which makes them feel heard, I bet.
Totally. And that feeling of being understood, that is crucial for building trust and intimacy.
In any relationship, not just romantic ones, right?
Absolutely. Any relationship.
This is good stuff. Okay, so mirroring is a good one. What else?
Well, another powerful technique that marriage counselors often use is they help couples to develop healthy conflict resolution skills.
Ooh, conflict resolution. That's a good one because let's face it, conflict is like, it's inevitable.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen in any relationship, especially a close one.
Oh, yeah. It's not about avoiding conflict.
So true.
It's about how you handle it.
Okay. Because I'll admit, sometimes my conflict resolution strategy involves a lot of like dramatic sighing and retreating to separate corners, which I know is not productive.
We've all been there.
So how do we do it better?
Well, imagine this. Instead of, you know, throwing those verbal grenades at each other,
right,
you're equipped with the skills to disarm those explosive situations.
Well, you have to disarm.
Right. And actually engage in a more constructive dialogue.
That sounds way better.
And one technique, they highlight this in the article, is the power of I statements.
I statement. Okay, I've heard of these, but
it's about shifting from blaming you statements, you know, the ones that immediately trigger defensiveness.
The you always and you never.
Yeah, all of that. Shifting away from that and instead using I statements that focus on your own feelings and needs.
Okay, I think I kind of get it, but can you give me like an example?
Yeah, of course. So let's say your partner, they have this habit of leaving their clothes on the floor.
Oh, classic.
Right. Classic. So instead of saying you always leave your clothes everywhere, it's so inconsiderate, which is, you know.
Yeah, that's not going to go well.
Not helpful, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could say, I feel frustrated when I see clothes on the floor because it makes me feel like our shared space isn't respected.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's like you're still expressing the same concern.
Right.
But in a way that's less attacky.
Way less accusatory.
Yeah, and more focused on how you feel.
And you know what's amazing is that when you use those I statements, it creates a space for vulnerability.
Oh, interesting.
And understanding because you're expressing your feelings without blaming, which invites the other person to do the same. And that can lead to a much more compassionate conversation.
Like you're disarming the situation before it has a chance to escalate into like a full-blown battle.
So we're de-escalating.
Okay, so we've got active listening, we've got I statements. What other kind of conflict resolution magic does marriage counseling have up its sleeve?
Well, another key thing is learning to stay focused on the issue at hand.
Okay.
You know, not attacking each other's character, separating the person from the problem.
Oh, that's so important, yeah. I can see that going wrong so easily.
It's so easy to slip into that.
Yes.
But if you can, instead of saying, you're so irresponsible, you could say, I'm feeling anxious about our finances and I'd love to talk about how we can manage them more effectively together.
It's such a different energy, you know, like it's a team effort instead of a blame game.
Exactly. And when you can approach conflict with that kind of problem-solving mindset,
mm-hmm.
it shifts the whole dynamic.
Instead of feeling like you're against each other.
Right.
You're on the same team.
You're teammates. You're working together to find a solution.
I love that. Teamwork makes the dream work.
It really does.
Okay, so active listening, I statements, focusing on the issue, not the person. This is great. Anything else marriage counseling can help us with?
You know, there's one thing that they touched on in the article that I thought was super interesting.
Okay.
It's the idea of building emotional awareness.
Oh, interesting.
And expression.
Okay.
So it's about learning to understand your own emotions.
Right.
But also how to communicate them effectively to your partner.
Oh, because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm just like swimming in a sea of emotions.
Yeah.
But I don't even know how to put words to them.
Yes, exactly. And a therapist can be so helpful with that because they can provide a really safe and non-judgmental space for couples to explore their emotional landscapes.
Oh, I like that. So it's like having an emotional coach in your corner.
Exactly.
Helping you understand and express your feelings.
You got it. And you know, by learning to identify and articulate their emotions, couples can create a much deeper level of intimacy and connection.
It makes sense, right? Because you're not just sharing facts. You're sharing your inner world with someone.
So inviting them in.
And that creates closeness and vulnerability.
Absolutely.
I love it. Okay, so we've covered active listening, conflict resolution, emotional awareness, anything else marriage counseling can help us with in terms of communication. I feel like we've covered so much already.
We have covered a lot, but, you know, remember that sneaky culprit we talked about earlier, unspoken expectations?
Oh, yeah, those sneaky expectations.
Marriage counseling can really help couples to address those head-on by creating a safe space for open and honest communication about needs and desires.
Yes, ditch the mind reading and just talk about it.
Exactly, but I imagine those conversations can be tricky.
Especially if you're not used to having them.
Absolutely. And that's where a therapist can be so helpful. You know, they can help couples to navigate those sensitive conversations with compassion and skill.
Like a guide through those sometimes rocky emotional terrains.
Oh, I'd like that. Yeah. Providing a roadmap.
Okay. So we've got a pretty solid toolkit now, but is there anything else we need to consider when it comes to communication?
You know, we've covered a lot of ground, but there's one more element I'd like to touch on before we wrap up.
Okay. Weigh it on me.
It's something that's often overlooked, but it's incredibly powerful, and that is nonverbal communication.
Body language, tone of voice, all of that.
All of it, all those subtle cues that can speak volumes.
Yes, I feel like sometimes I'm sending mixed messages without even realizing it.
Oh, it happens to all of us, and that's why it's so important to be mindful of our nonverbal communication, because our facial expressions, our posture, our tone of voice, they can either support or totally contradict what we're saying.
It's like there's a whole secret conversation happening alongside the actual conversation.
Right, exactly. So how do we become more aware of those nonverbal cues and make sure they're lining up with what we're trying to say?
Good question. How do we do that?
Well, one strategy is to just pay attention to your body. You know, are you tense? Are you relaxed? Are you making eye contact? Are you fidgeting? Our bodies are constantly giving us signals. So if you can tune in to those physical sensations, it can give you a lot of insight into what's going on emotionally.
So it's like being more in tune with your own internal landscape and how that's showing up in your outward expression.
You got it.
I like that. Okay, what about the other person? How do we read their nonverbals?
Well, it's the same idea. You just have to pay attention. Are they leaning in or are they pulling away? Do their facial expressions match their words? By paying attention to those subtle signals, you can gain a much deeper understanding of how your communication is being received.
It's like becoming a communication detective, looking for clues.
Exactly.
I love this. This is fascinating. But I have to admit, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed by all this information.
It's a lot. It is. But remember, becoming a skilled communicator is a journey.
Not a destination. I like that.
It's not about being perfect. It's about taking small steps, practicing these techniques, and being patient with yourself along the way.
Okay. So it's okay if I don't become a communication ninja overnight.
Absolutely. Even small changes can make a big difference. And just by becoming more aware of these communication dynamics, you're already on the right track.
Okay, that makes me feel better. So we've explored a lot of fascinating tools and techniques today. But before we wrap up, I'm wondering, okay, so we've talked about so much, you know, all these different things from active listening to like understanding our body language. What's like one tiny little thing you think someone listening could try today to be a better communicator, you know, with their loved ones?
That is such a good question. And I think the key is it doesn't have to be this huge change.
Right.
It really can be something small. Like maybe just try to be more aware when someone's talking to you to really, really listen.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when you're in that heated moment, maybe just take a pause, like a breath before you react.
Just like step back.
Just a little space.
Yeah.
And that can make a big difference.
It can it? Those small things.
It really can. It's like a little tiny shift, but it can change like the whole direction of the conversation.
Yeah, you just shift the energy a little bit.
Totally. And speaking of resources, the article we've been talking about, the one from Davenport Psychology, they actually offer marriage counseling services in Sarasota.
Oh, great.
So, you know, if you're in that area, that might be something to check out. And as we've talked about, even though they focus on couples, these techniques are great for anyone.
Totally.
So if you're feeling stuck or you just want to explore these ideas more, talking to a therapist or counselor can be really helpful.
I think that's great advice because they can give you that kind of personalized support.
Absolutely. But even if therapy is not something you're thinking about right now, you can still explore this stuff on your own.
Yeah.
There are so many amazing books out there, articles, even other podcasts like this one.
Of course.
You know, that can help you on your journey.
So just keep learning, keep practicing, and most importantly, keep connecting with the people you care about.
Beautifully said. Because those connections, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. That's what makes life so rich. So thank you to you, dear listener, for joining us on The Deep Dive. We always love having you here.
It's been a pleasure talking with you all today.
And until next time, you know, keep those conversations flowing, keep those connections strong. And remember, you have the power to build amazing relationships. We'll see you next time.